It's time! And now, introducing your host, fighting out of Las Vegas, Nevada, by way of Boston, Massachusetts, presenting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, it's Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Here he is, Matt Harrell.
No, we didn't make a mistake. Normally you hear that intro at the top of the hour, but given our next guest, we thought, why not? Let's play it again, the intro to Pushing the Odds. We go to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline, the voice of the UFC, John Anik, kind enough to join us. John, Matt Peralta, how are you?
Good to be with you again, Matt. Buff getting a little bit throaty on that intro for you, huh?
full body scream into the intro for Bruce Buffer. All right, so through your eyes, and I am sure this has been a whirlwind 48 hours for you and everybody with the company, but how are you guys doing?
You know, we're doing okay, and I appreciate you even asking. And again, obviously, this is not about us as much as it is about all of the fighters, many of whom are not going to be able to compete because of Conor McGregor's antics. But from a live production standpoint, this is an absolute nightmare. And you can only get so far ahead of the preparation when it comes to our television formats. Really, until the weigh-in is done and everything is made official, we can't go full throttle on the formats. But we've had to rework everything. I mean, Zabit Magomedsharipov was going to be the first fight of the night. Now he's fighting on we're sitting Eastern time on Friday, and we still don't know what the main event is going to be. I still think there's a chance that Rose Namajunas and Joanna Jędrzejczyk get elevated to the main event. So reworking formats, rebuilding features, and creating TV, you know, everything that I put on tape is UFC 223, Khabib versus Holloway, is presented by. So first it was Ferguson, then I revoiced it all for Holloway, and now we're going to revoice it for someone else. Of course, right now I can't tell you who exactly that is, but it's been a hell of a day, man. I'm not going to lie to you.
If you had to guess, and I know it's not your job to guess, but is Anthony Pettis going to be allowed to fight in the main event? Will the New York State Athletic Committee Commission allow it to happen? It sounds like they're saying no, right?
Yeah, at this point I find it hard to believe that Anthony Pettis and Khabib Nurmagomedov are going to compete with the UFC Lightweight Championship on the line. And that's not necessarily a statement about Pettis weighing in at 155.2, 2 ounces over the championship limit of 155 pounds. But it seemed to me that maybe there was a monetary issue that Pettis was asking to be compensated for taking this fight, and they couldn't come to terms. I think the big frustration from the UFC, and I shouldn't speak for them necessarily, but Paul Felder was, even if he wasn't offered the fight, the UFC at one point in time was interested in having Paul Felder fight Khabib for the championship. Felder made the championship weight. He's won 3 in a row, 5 of his last 6. And because Paul Felder is not ranked, because he doesn't have a number next to his name on UFC.com, the New York State Athletic Commission prevented him from taking that fight, which is absolutely absurd. I don't know that any of them has ever seen Paul Felder compete. And then, of course, the only other name in the equation is Ally Aquinta. He's the only New Yorker on this fight card, and he has spent much of the morning campaigning for this fight. So there's your short list. I think it's going to be one of those three guys. It'll either be a championship fight or, more likely, a three-round co-main event. They're trying like hell to keep Khabib on this card one way or the other.
All right, let's get to the story that everyone's talking about, and that's the arrest of Conor McGregor. He's been charged with three assault counts. He's been arraigned. The mugshot is out. One of his fellow, I guess, whatever you want to call it, part of his entourage, also being arrested and charged in this melee. Look, fight promotion's one thing, and maybe Conor showing up was supposed to be fight promotion for maybe the next round where Khabib and Conor may have fought at some point down the road. But, you know, what happened yesterday, and through your eyes, why did that go down the way that it went down?
Well, there is a backstory, and we don't know exactly what that is, but clearly there is some animosity and some venom between the Russians and the Irishmen. There was a little bit of a dust-up between Khabib Nurmagomedov and Conor's teammate, Artem Lobov, and I think that's sort of what led to Conor and his troops feeling like they needed to engage and instigate and, I guess, retaliate for what happened between Khabib and Artem. But it's hard for me to sit here, Matt, and think that Conor McGregor, in a sober state of mind, would have thought that this would be a good idea and would have not thought about the ramifications, maybe $20, $30 million in legal fees and lawsuits and everything else. I mean, you can make an argument that everybody on that bus has a legal case against him. Now, everybody is going to be suing him, but the fact that he, in this place in his life, would think that throwing a dolly at a bus full of fighters who are set to compete in 2 days was something that he needed to do is lunacy. And you can be sure the UFC is going to see what happens here in New York, but they'll probably levy some punishment. I don't think we've seen the last of Conor McGregor in the octagon. He's the biggest superstar mixed martial arts has ever seen. And we've seen a lot of guys, granted not an act like this, but we've seen other guys with transgressions, and eventually they find their way back to the octagon. I think you'll see that with Conor, but what a black eye. And, you know, hopefully people don't just associate this type of act with mixed martial arts. And our sport is crazy, it's wild, but it's largely rooted in respect. And obviously this was about as disrespectful an act from one fighter to another as you could have.
John Anik joining us here on Pushing the Odds, UFC 223 tomorrow night in Brooklyn on pay-per-view. The one thing that I am curious about going forward is, and I was in the room when Conor and Nate Diaz started to throw those full Monster Energy cans at each other in water bottles. He struck a woman. That woman sued Conor. The Nevada State Athletic Commission ultimately suspended Conor and then fined him a lot for the altercation and what happened. Do you think his license here in Nevada could be in jeopardy after what happened yesterday?
That's a good question. You know, a lot of these athletic commissions take their cues from California, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's a major suspension in New York, you know, or even, I mean, who knows with this New York State Athletic Commission, but maybe they wouldn't want Conor to ever compete in their state again, and perhaps some other states would sort of piggyback upon that. But I do think that Conor will do his damage control as best he can. And you know, maybe he tries to settle with some of these guys that inevitably are going to be coming after him monetarily. But, you know, I don't know, man. It's just hard in this day and age to think that Conor's going to all of a sudden be slapped with some 3-year suspension and lose his fighting prime, you know, for better or for worse. And probably in this instance, for worse, money talks. And Conor's got a lot of it, and he brings a lot of it in.
For all those people that are saying that it was a staged event yesterday, my retort has been UFC employees were hurt yesterday on that bus. There were fighters hurt, but UFC employees were also hurt on that bus. That's not fight promotion, right? That's not a staged event when we're talking about real people and real lives and real people going to the hospital, right?
Right. It's absolutely ludicrous. You know, it's just as ludicrous as fans saying, oh, Max Holloway is 160 pounds when the call came in. He'll have no trouble getting down to 155. A lot of people just throw stuff out there and talk about stuff that they have no idea about. And certainly it's an ignorant take that you can tell I'm particularly sensitive to, because our sport just absorbs a lot of bullets when things like this happen. And there's nothing fake about our sport. It is, as our, you know, tagline used to be, as real as it gets. This was not something that the UFC wanted to happen. It is very easy for them to build a fight between Conor McGregor and Khabib Nurmagomedov without having Conor throw a dolly at a bus and mess up an entire pay-per-view fight card several months before those guys would even compete. So nothing about this was a stunt. Nothing about it was planned. I think if there's any regret, it's just that they allowed Conor and his team, whoever allowed him, that they allowed him to get anywhere close to the athletes that were set to compete here this weekend.
Yeah, that was from the Mac Life that Dana White said yesterday. The Mac Life, Conor's media wing, I guess you could call it, who were there to cover the media event, let him in through a back door, and that's when all the heck went down here. And look, I understand that line. People say it was fixed or it's set up or staged. And the unfortunate part about this, and this is the world we live in, this is the world of fighting in a lot of ways, this kind of through a weird prism helps Conor for his next fight? Does it make him a bigger star that more people know about who Conor is today than they did before yesterday?
It's hard to sit here and say that it helps him in any respect, because I think he has alienated a lot of fans and certainly some of his fellow fighters. And I think as soon as Conor McGregor's court hearing is done, and I think the bail hearing is going on as we speak, hopefully he'll issue some sort of public apology, at least to the fighters like Michael Chiesa and Ray Borg that suffered injuries because of his action and aren't able to compete. Conor's next fight is going to be massive, and I'm sure some of your listeners are thinking, how could you even talk about Conor McGregor's next fight given what happened this weekend? But one way or another, Conor's next fight was going to be massive. I thought it was going to do 2 million pay-per-view buys in the UFC almost regardless of opponents. So, yes, I have heard from a lot of people in my life today who I haven't heard from in years. Certainly from a mainstream standpoint, Conor McGregor's name, if you can believe it, has gotten into hundreds of thousands of more households that it probably was never in before. But I'm just not sure that this really helps him. And the other thing, too, is Dana White in all of this, because he has really gone to bat for Conor, and he has taken a lot of bullets on Conor's behalf and defended him and against fellow fighters, what have you. And for Dana to have to deal with this during a week that he was really excited about, you know, I feel for my boss. And again, as of right now, we're sitting here 2:22 Eastern time on Friday. We still don't have a main event. So a lot of layers to this thing, man, but largely I don't think this helps Conor.
I've heard from the Khabib side of things where they're saying this is proof that Conor just wants to fight Mayweather in an octagon and wants no part of Khabib, and he's doing everything in his power to make sure that fight never happens. Any truth to it?
Perhaps, but, Conor McGregor is going to call his shot, right? If he wants to fight Tony Ferguson next, you know, that's probably going to be his opponent. If he wants to do the trilogy fight with Nate Diaz, that'll probably be his opponent. You know, I have said at long last on my podcast that I expect in Conor McGregor's next fight, he will be the betting favorite. Translation, I don't expect his next fight to be against Khabib Nurmagomedov. Most of these other guys, Tony Ferguson, Nate Diaz, Floyd Mayweather, if I can even inject him into the mix, I mean, Conor would be favored to beat those guys. I think a fight between McGregor and Ferguson is very close, but Conor would be favored to beat him. He would not be favored to beat Khabib Nurmagomedov. It is the most difficult matchup for him in the division. It's the most difficult matchup for most of the elite lightweights in the division. But I don't think Conor would have major hesitation to take the fight if the money was right or if it was in Russia. So, I mean, it's a massive, massive fight, and Conor would certainly like to be a part of the spectacle. But, man, coming back after an extended two-plus-year layoff to face that guy, that's a big ask.
John, you are the man for taking this interview today. I really appreciate it. I know your life is a whirlwind right now. Best of luck getting ready for tomorrow night. We'll all be watching on pay-per-view, however.
Thank you, man. My pleasure. Have a good day.
That's John Anik on the Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Boy, oh boy. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. If you're a UFC fan, it's a tough day today. I mean, it really is. you can hammer Conor, but by hammering Conor, you're hurting the sport. He's the biggest name in the sport. You know, he is doing things that make it very difficult to defend him, and it brings up a lot of very difficult conversations, and they don't know who the main event's going to be, and we are, what, 28 hours away from when that thing's supposed to start? Really amazing. We'll talk more about UFC 223. I'll give you a Masters update next as well. It's Pushing the Odds. We're live in Vegas, SB Nation Radio.